Hey everyone, it is Nish from the LOC Couch. It's like 6:42 a.m. here in Denver. Unfortunately, I've been awake for the past 5 hours or so due to crappy jet lag. And so I've basically been trawling Twitter all morning long, which has not been fun at all. But I thought I'd make the most of it since it's now time to get up. And we haven't done a pod in a while. Apologies for that. It's been very busy, as I said, traveling. I'm in Denver and been a bit hard to record stuff. And, you know, usually like to do ones with people, you know, talking to them, but it's a bit hard when I don't have the tech with me. So here I am recording myself, but thought, you know, it's been a long time. Let's do what we used to do is called a positivity pod. So the positivity couch is back. I think people need it. The West Ham game didn't quite go as expected, 1-1 draw. I unfortunately still haven't had a chance to watch it, so I'm not going to talk about that in detail. I'm going to leave that to our friendly folks back in Australia and the UK to release a pod hopefully this week. What I am going to talk about, though, is the reaction. Once again, it's not going to be a whinge fest like sometimes I do. I'm sorry about that. I'll try not to get too whingy on this one, but more of a case of let's relax. And that's kind of been my mantra on Twitter all morning, well, for the last 9 hours anyway. just chill out a little bit. And it's not a case of you don't have the right to be upset. Definitely everyone has the right to be upset. We're not performing the way we'd want to perform. We should be winning these games, not dropping 4 points in 2 games to very beatable teams, especially the West Ham one. From all accounts I've been reading, we probably should have lost that game. I saw the highlights, the 4-minute highlights, and yeah, that was a pretty badly offside goal. Speaking of which, Klopp didn't get himself into any favours by saying that apparently the ref would have seen that at halftime and probably tried to even up the game, so he might get a fine for that. So we'll see what happens to him. But the main point is that let's take a realistic thing from here. All I've seen on Twitter is, well, not all, but a lot of it has been doom and gloom and, oh, we've bottled the season already. You know, it's very likely that Man City's going to beat Everton and go above us before we play our game. But let's just bring it back. Let's get some positivity and recognize, as I was saying before, yes, yeah, full right to be upset. But this whole pod is about making you realize it's not the end of the world, and that you can actually feel positive about the rest of the season. So let's just look at the big picture right now. Once again, we are currently, with all games even, 3 points ahead of them. Think back to the start of the season. Think back of your goals for the season. You know, again, we finished fourth. Again, we're in the Champions League. We've invested in some quality players, Naby Keita and Fabinho coming in. Did you think, and Alisson as well, of course, you know, as a massive, massive person to bring in. But did you actually think that come January, or right now, February being February 5th and February 6th, did you think we'll be 3 points in the lead of the Premier League? You know, we've got 13 games left to play. In your wildest dreams, honestly, did you think we'll be doing this well? So keep that in mind. This is a phenomenal season. Did you think we would have only lost one game to this point? It's absolutely ridiculous. I'm going through. I mean, we had a first bunch of wins. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wins in a row. Then 2 draws. Weirdly enough, we just had 2 draws. Then we won twice. Then we drew again. Then we went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 wins in a row. Then we lost to Man City. Then 2 wins and 2 draws. Think about that for a second. That kind of form guide. And I saw a comment as well. When I posted this out, I wrote terrible season underneath that. It's got like 471 likes at this point, 112 retweets and 22 comments. But one of the comments was that kind of form would put you well ahead of nearly every other team in every other league in the world right now. I went through the other leagues. I know the Italian league is a little closer. I know Juventus are doing better, but they have like a 20-point drop-off from second to third or something crazy like that. So it's a very different league. We're much more competitive in the Premier League. But just think about the amount of wins, the form we've had so far, how we've done this season. That is amazing. Now, people talk about City all the time. I don't like talking about the opposition. I like focusing on us. But if everyone's whinging and saying Man City's going to beat us, then you got to take into account what Man City have done. And so people are saying, you know, if they're going to beat us, frankly, they have to win every game in a row, not all 13 games, because I believe we've got an easier run of games coming in. So let's just put a bit of clarity into City season so far. Now, they've also had an away form, which is not so great at all. It is, I think, something like, I'll try and find it, something along the lines of 7 games and 4 losses and 2 draws. It's like, or 7 wins, I don't know. It's something along those lines. 7 wins, 2 draws, 4 losses. So it's pretty poor. So they've lost to Chelsea away, Crystal Palace at home, which is that amazing game by Palace, by the way, Leicester away and Newcastle away. The teams they have to face away for the rest of the season out of the 13 games. Everton coming up, we don't expect them to do anything. They'll roll over like the blue shite they are. Bournemouth, who are actually playing kind of well, but frankly, they should beat them as well. Then they got Manchester United away. They've got Fulham away, which they should beat them, but then Crystal Palace away, and Crystal Palace beat them at home, so keep that in mind. They got Burnley away. They could do anything, probably nothing. And Brighton away, it's probably nothing again. The home games they got to face. They got to face Chelsea at home, West Ham at home, Watford at home, Cardiff, Tottenham, and Leicester. Frankly, none of those are easy beats, even for a team like Manchester City. The next thing that people are telling me is that they've got to play 4 extra cup games and the squad is deep enough, God, I can't pronounce my words this morning, to cope with all these competitions. So they got the League Cup final, they against, I think, Man United, Chelsea, can't remember who it is. They've got the League Cup final, they've also got the FA Cup that they're still in, they've also got the Champions League, and they got to play 2 legs against Schalke. So people are saying, well, they've got enough players, a deep enough squad to deal with that. Well, that's true, they do have an amazing squad, but if it was deep enough to cope with all those competitions, why have they lost 4 times? To the likes of Chelsea, Palace, Leicester, and Newcastle. If you saw their form, I think they only conceded their first goal from open play in like early December. So they went from August through to December without scoring a single goal from open play. Then they lost to Chelsea, lost to Palace, lost to Leicester, lost to Newcastle. Did you believe at any point, if you try and cast your mind back to early December, that A, they would even lose a game? B, they would even concede from open goal? 3, they would lose to the likes of Palace, Leicester, and Newcastle. They're not invincible. Please keep it in your mind. No team, unfortunately, is invincible. We hoped we could be invincible, but we lost to Man City. And, you know, we've shown our weaknesses and we've been playing pretty poorly. But that doesn't mean Manchester City is some behemoth of a squad. Yeah, they've got the history. Yeah, they've got the ability and they've got a team full of champions. It does not mean they still can't lose to some really shitty teams for the rest of the season, especially when they're in 4 competitions. Now, fast forward to Champions League, they got to face Schalke, who, again, frankly, they really should beat quite easily. So then they're into the next round. Do you really think that Pep is not going to play his absolute top squad against those teams in the Champions League? I know we will, because we want to do that. But we've only got those 2 competitions to play now, right? So do you honestly think if they're behind us right now, that they're actually going to play a weakened squad for any leg of the Champions League? It will be absolutely impossible, unless they absolutely thrash Schalke. I don't think they will. I think it could be 2 or 3-0. I still think he'll put out a strong squad. But the next round, what if they get a Real Madrid or a Barcelona or something like that? Do you honestly think he's going to put out a weakened squad? No, they'll play their top squad. And we've already seen they have lost away games in the Premier League after those games. So takes on to that point. Now, I've had a pretty good debate with a guy called Jay Spearing FC. Love the name. He likes to dig, and I totally don't mind it at all. He thinks I'm turning into the Thai of Liverpool because I'm just being ultra positive. And I get it. It's fine. I may look a bit foolish. It's totally cool. Everyone who's listened to this pod for a long time knows I'm super positive. My reasoning being is that I don't believe in myself that it does the club any favor if I was just going to be there and whinge about the negativities. Yeah, you can see them. Yeah, they're really obvious. Does it help? No, it doesn't help me ranting on about it. So what I tend to do is just shut up for a bit, analyze the game for a bit. I didn't see the game, but I analyzed the result. That's fair enough. Analyze the situation a bit and then come back with some thoughts. I think it was, we saw Andy Robertson come out and they asked him, what was Klopp's reaction after the game? And he goes, he doesn't actually say much after the game. He prefers to sleep on it, come back and then talk to us the next day about what they're actually going to do. I like to try and think along the same lines. I hate knee-jerk reactions, and Twitter, unfortunately, for a solid 24, 48 hours after every game, especially a bad performance, likes to knee-jerk. I try my absolute hardest to stay away from that, so sorry if you don't like it, but I do try my hardest to stay, and that keeps me positive because I think we're having an amazing season. Even in our worst, worst years, I try my hardest to at least think, we can pull ourselves out of this. We are Liverpool. We should be winning things, and this is how we're going to do it. So, yeah, and that, I guess that brings up the next point of a lot of people have said to me, like, don't you think you should learn from your past? We have, in their words, bottled, you know, League Cup finals, Champions League finals, FA Cup finals, a whole lot of stuff over the last 10-plus years. If you don't recognize that something's different about this team by now, you've really got to watch a bit more football. I don't know how else to put it. It's just one of those years where you just have to go, you know, something really is different about this squad. At the start, we were just working harder. We were killing teams through our energy and our gegenpressing because we didn't have the ability to control games. So we tried to out-physical teams. Klopp made us run and run and run. Try and cast your mind back to the very first game that Klopp came in. I think it was Tottenham. And I think our best player on the pitch that game was Adam Lallana, weirdly enough, because he exemplified everything that we wanted. And he was very fit at the time. And he just pressed Tottenham to bits. And we came out with a draw in a game that normally we should have lost. People were shocked. We had a terrible first, eight games under Brendan Rodgers, drawing a whole bunch of games and just looking abject, no energy about us at all. Then Klopp comes in, changes it around, and basically makes us outrun Tottenham. And I can't remember how many miles we ran, but it was a ridiculous amount. So we've gone from that to then getting into finals, to building the team up and slowly transforming from a gegenpressing team to a team that is able to control a game from start to finish. Unfortunately, it hasn't been able to happen the last two games. The possession's been there. The amount of shots on target were there. The last game was awful. What I've been able to try and nail it down to is we're trying to play the same game, but we look quite lethargic. I saw Moby Hack, I think he's got a, you know, people have got different views than the guy, but I don't mind him at all. He did ask the question, why are we looking so lethargic when we're playing one game a week? And I thought, well, what could be happening? And then I realized that isn't Klopp saying stuff like players have been quite sick, very sick? Apparently Virgil van Dijk lost 4 kilograms. Milner had to travel to the game by himself because he was so contagious. Now, are you honestly telling me that no one else in the team is actually feeling sick feelings when individual players are so contagious that they have to travel by themselves? So maybe they're actually quite ill. Maybe that trip to Dubai, maybe they contracted something and that's what's made them perform or underperform to what we're used to. So it could be nothing more than purely just physical sickness, which, guess what? Couple of weeks they usually go. So get them on the, they've got brilliant doctors there, get them back on it. They were up against someone, Bournemouth. I don't even know who we're facing next. I can't think that far ahead. We're facing them next, and let's just hope that they're back. And it's not about skill level or how we're playing. Should we have Milner on the right? Apparently Milner played poorly. Well, guess what? He was so sick he had to travel by himself. Give the man some slack. Klopp said that with Genie and Henderson both out, and they probably can't come back for the next game as well. It makes his decision-making on the lineup a lot easier, but he doesn't have the options. He had Curtis Jones on the bench. Curtis Jones, he's an under-18 player, been promoted recently to the under-23s, and he is starting on our bench. against West Ham United in the Premier League as an attacking midfielder. I mean, put that into context, right? You know, you have so many quality players out right now that all it takes is a matter of weeks, and it could be 1, 2, or 3 weeks where we could just draw those games, and I'm sure we'll scrape a few good wins. And then we're back to absolute full fitness where we can string together another 9 runs in a row. Keep that in mind, please. On to that news. Apparently, Kiana Hover and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain have been included in the Champions League squad. So amazing. Congratulations to those guys. It's just an absolutely beautiful thing to have those people included. It's very, very special, I think, to have Kiana Hover, a very young player, to experience what it's like to be in a Champions League squad. And Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, whether he plays a lot or little or nothing, again, to have him part of the team, I think, is something very, very special. I think we really missed our leadership on the field against West Ham. And having Henderson at right back, we needed him in the midfield. We needed Fabinho playing as well. So a lot of things are just going in our favor. Anyway, I think my voice is cutting out of me, so I'm just going to cut it short. I've got to start my day now. But, you know, a bit of positivity, guys. Chin up a little bit. It's going to be an amazing season. I still truly believe we're going to win it. There's going to be a hard, bumpy road along the way. But, you know, just smile a little bit. Go and hug someone. Go play with your pets. Give some money to charity. Something or the other. Smile. We're the Reds. We're going to win shit. And, yeah, let's walk on. Catch you later. Bye.